ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I remember when we had children at home and getting them ready for church on Sunday morning. It's like, there's demons in these kids, right? It's like the craziest thing. Things are out of control, you know. And then you come to church and you're sitting there and go, oh my, you know, you're just thinking about all these things. And then you start worshiping God. What happens? You are now in the presence of God. That's what worship does. Some people think, well, worship is just a filler till the pastor speaks. So they set their watches. We'll be in at 10:20 to catch the message. No, worship is to worship and honor God. To focus our hearts and minds upon Him. I think it's so important. God is speaking. We just need to listen. And here's the thing. I've heard people say this. Oh, we've studied that book before. I'm not going to go to that study again. I've heard it already. Wow. Then you must be as smart as God. Because I'll tell you what. Every time I go through the scriptures, God is showing me different things. Because God's word is living and powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts right to the heart, guys. There is no way I know everything about God. It's kind of like Paul said, you know, looking in a mirror dimly. I get a glimpse of Him, but I'm sure that when I see Him face to face, I'm going to be just blown away. But boy, as I get to know Him more and more, I just want to worship Him. Because I know all that He has done for me. The sacrifice that He made to save me. And I believe that this is the angel of the Lord, is Jesus Christ. You know, specifically the pre-incarnate Christ, second person of the Holy Trinity. How do I know that? Well, what's His name? Why do you ask my name? Seeing it is what? Wonderful. Does that remind you of something? Yeah, it should remind us of Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So here's the Lord, and Manoah is preparing an offering to Him, and a burnt offering goes up, and the angel of the Lord ascended up into heaven. And Manoah and his wife are watching all this. When you read that, does it blow you away? Can you imagine, you know, here goes this offering, ascending up into heaven, and then the angel of the Lord ascends up too. Their minds must have been blown, right? They knew it was the Lord. And again, when God does something amazing like that in our lives, sometimes we come to the wrong conclusions, as Manoah did. He went from the worship of God to the fear of the Lord, and not a good fear of the Lord. That's the problem. Look at verse 22. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." Then his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." Men, you should be praising God for your wife. I mean, Manoah's like, that's it. We're dead meat. We're going to die. We've seen God. It's all over. Is our will in order, honey? Because this is it. We're done. Wow. That's the conclusion he came to. You're going to have a son. He's going to deliver Israel. He's going to be a Nazarite. And now we're going to die. Gideon had that same problem. Remember in Judges 6, verses 21 through 23. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said, "In peace with you, do not fear, you shall not die." Why did the Lord tell Gideon that you shall not die? Because Gideon thought he was going to die. oh my gosh, I saw the angel of the Lord, I'm going to die. Same here with Manoah. He felt the same way. Again, I don't know what's going on with men, but they kind of go to these extremes at times. But God said, I'm going to do great things through you, Gideon. I'm going to do great things, Manoah, through your son. So, you know, you're not going to die. So this is not a good fear of the Lord. It caused them to cower, to tremble. That's not how our God is. God said to Manoah, look, you're going to have a son. He's going to, you know, deliver Israel partly from the Philistine oppression. You're not going to die. And I think for us, you know, don't come to your own conclusions about the Lord and what he's doing. Listen to what he's saying, and it reduces your anxiety. You know, God tells us something, and it's like overwhelming sometimes, and we think, well, that's it. What are we going to do? It's all over. The fear of the Lord we need to have is a reverential fear, a respectful fear of who he is. When I was growing up, I respected my father. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't agree with everything that he told me to do. I was a kid. But I respected him. And we're to respect our Heavenly Father as well. For Gideon, it was the Lord that comforted him. Gideon, you're not going to die. Manoah, again, guys, it was his wife. And she says, you know what, Manoah, chill out, man. What are you so worked up over? If God accepted our offering and he told us all these wonderful things, why is he going to kill us? And again, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but you get the idea. I'll be honest with you. You know, I am so thankful for my wife. She knows what she needs to say at times when I get down and discouraged. You know, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. And she would say something like this. She would say, okay, Joe, do you really think God brought you up here just to dump you off? And, you know, it's one of those things that I don't want to hear from her at that time. But I know I needed to hear it from her. Because it's true. And what happens is you get refocused. You have the correct perspective of the situation. Well, of course, you know, Lord, you're in control. I need to chill out. I need to understand that. And here's the thing. If God speaks to you about something, if he's told you, you know, what you're going to do, what he wants to do in you and through you, it may be difficult, but it doesn't matter. Just walk by faith, trust in him. Don't let fear stop you. Let the Lord guide you. And this kind of really leads us all up to what the Lord told Manoah and his wife, that they're going to have this son who is born a Nazirite. He's going to lead the children of Israel or begin to lead them from their bondage at the hands of the Philistines. We see this last point, the birth of Samson. Look at verse 24. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanahi, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol. You know, is God faithful? Yeah, God is faithful to what he has promised, what he has said. He's more than able to bring these things to pass, and that's exactly what we see here. I mean, think about it. God spoke everything into existence. He used 6 days, rested on the seventh. Did he need that much time? No. He's created the billions upon billions upon billions and billions of stars that are out there. We can't even see them with the naked eye. All the galaxies that are out there. And we're worried. And he knows them all by name. All the stars he knows by name. And we're worried that he's not going to be able to handle the situations we face. Wow. My God is much too small if I feel that way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, that's it for me. If you've created everything, you can control my life. You give me my very breath. And when it's time to go home, it's time to go home. But until then, Lord, help me to walk by faith, to trust in you. I love the name of this child, Samson, Sonny. Hey, Sonny, come on over. And maybe he brought a lot of sunshine into their lives every time they saw him. Think about it. She was barren for years. We don't know how many years, but she was barren. Now she has Sonny. That joy just lit up her life. And he was to be a light to the children of Israel, I believe, also, to deliver them from the oppression they faced by the hands of the Philistines, to turn the people back to God. That's what the judges did. That's what he was supposed to do. But he was a man of contradiction, as we've talked about. He fought the battles of God by day and succumbed to the flesh by night, you might say. All this potential in this man, the Spirit of God was upon him, but he fell short of what God desired in his life. And that can happen in our own lives too. God wants to use us, but are we willing to sacrifice our lives unto him and surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives? Place our lives on the altar of sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. All of me. And that's a tough one because we like to have some control, right? You know, I've told you before, years ago there was a bumper sticker, you know, God is my co-pilot. No, God is the pilot. He's not the co-pilot. And I have to admit, I do like to be in control. I mean, yesterday my wife took me down to the lake. I was going to run from Manitowoc to Two Rivers. And she was driving. And I am the worst backseat driver in the world. Could we go a little faster, honey? Honey, we got to turn here. I'm sure it drives her crazy. Why do I do that? Because I want to be in control. I feel safer that way. With God, it's the wrong perspective here. Because God has what's best. You see, me being in control, I'm going to avoid things. I'm going to avoid the dangers that are out there. I'm going to avoid those difficult situations because I don't want to have to deal with them. God says you need to. You know, I shared with you before, years ago, you know, at our board meeting, this is 25 years ago probably now, that I asked the two elders, can you guys remain on the board? You know, do you want to stay on for another few months here? And they said, yeah. And so that was the last board meeting. My wife and I went on vacation. I think we were in California, and we were hiking. And we're going down this trail, and we're just, it's just gorgeous out there. And the Lord started speaking to me, and he said, you know, Joe, did you ask the elders if they can support you in the work you're doing? And I hate when that happens. I really, because I, you know, what am I going to say, Lord? You know, what are you talking about? And that's what I pretty much did say. Lord, what do you mean by that? I said, did you ask them if they can support you in the work? I thought, I knew that wasn't going to be good. And I really didn't want to do it because I really don't like confrontation. But I knew what I had to do. And the Lord was so, you know how he's crystal clear? I mean, it wasn't like from heaven I heard, Joe. But he spoke to my heart so clear. It was like an audible voice. And so we had another board meeting. And I said, guys, you know, I appreciate it that you want to remain on the board. I said, but, you know, the Lord really put it upon my heart to ask you guys, can you support me in the work? Now, keep in mind, these are the elders. The whole reason they're elders is to support me in the work. And one of them took his pencil and threw it on the table and said, I knew it would come to this. And you should have seen the eyes of the other elder. It was like, they were like this big. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Well, he couldn't support me in the work. He didn't agree with the things I was doing. I said, well, if you can't support me in the work, then you can't be an elder. And he stepped down. I said, you can stay at the church. You don't have to leave. But an elder is there to help the pastor, to make his work easier, to do those things to help him, to assist him. But if you don't want to assist me in the work, you don't believe in the work that I'm doing, yeah, then you need to step down. And he did, and he left, which was sad. But the thing I want to bring out is how difficult that was, because this was a close friend. In fact, this was a friend, the only friend I had when I first came up here. I stayed at his house for maybe a month, I think it was, before my wife and kids moved up here and we were able to get into our house. It was the hardest thing in the world to do. But I knew what God needed, wanted me to do. And that's the hard part. Are we willing to sacrifice our lives no matter how hard or how difficult it is? because we want to reach that full potential that God has for our lives. But it's a choice we have to make. And, you know, Samson, I mean, what is your picture of Samson in your mind? I know from Sunday school and television shows and things, he's this Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's huge, Charles Atlas, muscles bulging out everywhere. I think that's the wrong picture of this guy. I think we've developed that because of the pictures we've seen of him. But I think he was probably like me, like you. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm just trying to say, we're not Charles Atlas. We're not bodybuilders. You know, I take out the garbage. I think that's doing pretty good. Okay? I don't even press it over my head. I just use the little wheels on it. You think, well, why do I feel that way? Why do I think that Samson was this average Joe type of person? Well, when you read the things that he's going to do, I mean, tearing a lion to pieces, killing 30 men at one time, killing 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. I don't care how strong you are. You're not going to be able to do that. Unless, you know, the lion has been tranquilized and you could pull him apart. But it wasn't. There is no way the strongest man in the world can kill 1,000 men coming at you with the jawbone of a donkey. I don't care how strong you are. So I don't think he was that strong. I think that's what was impressive. That's why Delilah is going to say, where is your strength coming from? Well, you sure don't look like you're strong. I think the strength of Samson is found in verse 25 here in Judges 13. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. There is his strength. There is our strength. The Spirit of God empowered him for this work. That's what made him so strong. That's where his strength came from. That's why, like I said, people wondered where his strength came from, because you looked at the guy, you go, come on. And I think this is something that the church in general is lacking today, this empowering of the Spirit of God to move the gospel message forward. Instead of asking for God to empower us with His Spirit, we have all kinds of programs and gimmicks, all kinds of things to draw people into the church. And it's a never-ending project. You know, it's always got to be bigger and better and brighter and whatever. An example would be like if you watch a science fiction movie from the 1950s. You know, in the 1950s, if you watched it, it was pretty impressive, you know? I don't know if the, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon was from the late 50s or early 60s. But, you know, as a kid watching that, it was terrifying to see that thing coming out of the water. You watch it now, you go, man, is that hokey, right? You almost laugh at it. So what we've done is we made things so impressive with special effects today. You can't even tell if it's fake or real anymore. I remember when the second Terminator movie came out with liquid metal. And we were going to a men's retreat, and we were at a hotel one evening, and we were watching it on the television. And, you know, we were probably really in our early 20s at the time. And we were like, oh, my, did you see that liquid metal right through the bars? Unbelievable. We were just blown away. And I watched it again recently, and I thought, yeah, you know, that was okay. It's why? Because we kind of keep making it bigger and better, more impressive. And that's true in the church. We forget about the Holy Spirit empowering us, and we look to worldly ideas. The church is not a business. It's not an organization. It's an organism, a living organism. And the head is Christ, guiding us and empowering us for service. Tozer shared this about what he saw happening in the church 60 years ago. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we would do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. Wow, that is an alarming statement. And I think it's gotten even worse today. And I'm not sure why we don't understand this, why we think we can do it on our own, that we can fix and this and fix that or accomplish this and accomplish that. And not asking God, Lord, what do you want to do? And Lord, can you empower us for this work? And we're not fruitful in our endeavors. We're frustrated many times. You know, I don't know why, but all of a sudden, and I think it's because of the whole COVID thing, but I am getting tons on my Facebook feed of these, how to grow your church. I mean, it's like some kind of program. I don't know. I just read Acts 2:42. That's what the Lord gave me. That's what I stick to. Maybe I'm simplistic, but I'll stick with the Lord because you know what? You don't lose with him. We cannot do it on our own, and God never intended us to do it on our own. Think about all the religions of the world. They tell you how to live. They tell you what to do, what not to do, don't they? And some of them have some very practical things, good things. Yeah, and they can't save you. Only Jesus can, but don't miss the point. The religions tell you how you are to live, but they never give you the power to live as God has called you to live, right? And there's the difference. Zechariah 4:6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Jews returned home from their Babylonian captivity, some of them, and the temple was a mess. The people were frustrated. How are they going to get this work accomplished, done? And the Lord said, it's not going to be about you doing this and doing that. It's going to be it's going to be with the Spirit of God working upon you, helping you to accomplish this work. And we see it in the New Testament in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You see, at that point, the disciples of Jesus had all the information, yet they lacked the power to run with it. And the work of the Holy Spirit, that empowerment, is to move the gospel message forward, to give us the strength to accomplish the work that's before us. And I'll tell you what, as dark as these days are getting, we need the empowering of God upon our lives to move that gospel message forward. We need to be praying for people's hearts to soften and their eyes to be open to the truth. Because our mission here is to bring the gospel message to a lost and dying world. We can't do it on our own. We need his power. We need his strength. Just like Samson did. And the Spirit of the Lord began working on him. The potential's there to do the work. But then he had to walk. And that's always a hard one. Samson, like I said, is a man who is controlled by his bodily appetites. And again, by the time we get to the end of his life, the Spirit of God who had empowered him left Samson. And he didn't even know that. He didn't know that the Lord left him before it was too late and he was taken captive by the Philistines. And we'll see that in our study of Judges. And I'll leave you with this. You know, this needs to be a wake-up call for all of us. God wants to use us, but are we willing to follow him? And it's a question we have to answer on our own. But let's be the men and women God wants us to be, because he's prepared the work for us and us for the work, but then we have to walk. There is a family that was visiting the Grand Coulee Dam, and the visitor center was in the dark. And it was a sunny day, so the center they thought maybe the center had tinted windows, but they realized there were no lights on. And they went in and saw that none of the displays were working, and there was no power to the center. There was technical difficulty of some kind at the visitor center, and it was only hundreds of feet away from the hydroelectric dam, and it had no power. How could we, as Christians, be so close to the power source and yet not plugged into it? Are we plugged into the Spirit of God? Are we trying to do the work on our own? Because you'll never do it. We do not want to be a light that flickered. We want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and to shine brightly for Jesus. Don't let your light go out. Don't let it flicker. But be the light that is shining brightly in this dark world. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for these lessons. They're not easy ones, Lord, in the book of Judges, but they're powerful ones. Because we have to examine our own lives. We have to see the things that we're doing. And then, Lord, just come before you. If we're doing something wrong, just ask for forgiveness. Ask for that faith to take those steps of faith, to trust in you, and to do the work that you called each of us to do, to shine brightly in this dark world. Father, if there is anyone struggling here this morning, Lord, may you comfort them and encourage them and strengthen them. And Lord, may we go out these doors here today and shine brightly for Jesus. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.